Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I reasoned like a child. I thought like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly. Then we will see face to face. Once a year, as a church, about this time, we host an annual meeting we call our church conference. It is a rip-roaring time. We come prepared, of course, having read our annual reports by the pastors and key leaders, having reviewed the annual operating plan, having prayerfully considered the slate of nominations that are set before us. And while this year, like last year, things will have to be a little different, the pandemic once again forcing us to have a virtual church conference, one thing that will undoubtedly be the same is the makeup of the people who attend. No, not everyone who's been at a previous church conference will come to this one. And not everyone who's there today will have been there before. But make no mistake, friends, the church conference, like the church itself, is made up of that disparate group of imperfect people like me, like you, like us, who for this moment of time have agreed to walk alongside one another in faith. The people who for this time are willing to do the work of the church in the year ahead. Only if we're honest, most of the time we sort of think about the church conference as in placing the burden on the shoulders of the clergy or a few key leaders. We say our piece, talk about whatever we want, put our vote in, grumble about whatever we didn't like, and then go home and watch the Chiefs game. Too soon? But the truth is, the work of the church conference is all of our work. Because we are the church. We know that, don't we? We remember that. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is the people, right? I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. And so as the church, as the particular people called to the mission and vision of Asbury First in the year ahead, perhaps we owe it to each other. Perhaps we owe it to ourselves to make sure that we come this year to the church conference as prepared as possible. No, not by having read the reports, though that would be helpful. And not by just having the link ready, though that will be essential. But by having asked ourselves how we personally are willing to recommit to the mission and vision of the church in the year ahead. How we personally, as disciples of Jesus Christ, are willing to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, and repeat. As strange as it might sound, maybe this year we need a little pre-conference check-in. Not for all of us, but for each of us. Maybe each of us needs to come with some self-assessment in mind, some self-reflection, something that we have done to prepare our own hearts and minds. Maybe before we pull ourselves together, we'll have to pull ourselves together. That is, to check to see what kind of condition our condition is in. Some of us could use it, couldn't we? It's been a hard couple of years. It's kept us on our toes, to say the least. We never know what a day is going to bring. I've heard that somewhere before. But these last few years, yikes, the yo-yo, the back and forth has given us all a kind of existential whiplash, which means that some of us, even those among us who had really deep wells, are finding ourselves coming up empty. Maybe it makes sense to pause for a little self-reflection. Maybe it makes sense to pause for just a moment to take a look in that mirror and to ask ourselves honestly, how are we? How are you? Honestly. Used to be a lot easier to answer, didn't it? When we're young, it comes much more naturally, that self-reflection, that self-assessment. Children are not only good at being who they are, they're good at being how they are. When a child feels like crying, they cry. When a child feels like laughing, they laugh. When a child is upset, they're not afraid to show it. When do we lose that? Why did we lose that? Is it nature or nurture, a function of biology or something else? When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways, yes. But was it a good thing? Did we leave anything behind? Today we hear the story about the call of Jeremiah, who, as we heard, was called when he was very young. And when he hears that call in his life, he says, "How can this be? For I'm only a boy." To which God responds simply, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you will go to whom I send you, and you will speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you." And there are 1,000 sermons we could make from there, but perhaps the one we need to hear today is a reminder that while we often dismiss the fact that he was a boy, we say to ourselves, well, he was called despite being so young. Maybe the reverse is true. Maybe Jeremiah was called because he was young, because he still had that childlike spirit in him, that spirit that was willing to see the world and not name it as something else, but to name it as he saw it. Maybe he was willing to still look in that mirror and be honest about what he saw. What would it be like if we had some of that same childlike spirit today, some of that same childlike honesty, some of that same childlike faith? For some of us, we've been looking in that dim mirror for so long that it'd be hard to remember what it was like to see face to face. It didn't happen overnight, of course. It's cumulative. We don't just wake up one morning and say to ourselves, "Today I'm no longer going to show the world how I really feel." No. For some of us, it's a matter of survival. If we cried every time we were sad, some of us might never stop. But maybe there's another way. The challenge, of course, is that if we never show the world how we feel, friends, it's hard for people to know. And if people don't know, then it's hard for them to help. And if we never get any help, well, we only get by with a little help from our friends. So, friends, in case no one has asked you in a while and meant it, how are you? And you look in that mirror, what do you see today in this moment, that proverbial mirror in your head? When you look at yourself, what do you see? Some of us, of course, can't get past the reflection piece. We know it's not the most important part how we look on the outside, but we'd be lying if we thought it didn't affect how people treat us. No, we learn very early on, some tragically early, just how much what we look like can affect the people around us. Having been reading broadly over the last couple of months in preparation for the series of sermons in honor of Black History Month, one of the experiences that I have been repeatedly struck by is one that is nearly universal for people of color, but which I, by virtue of something as ephemeral as the lack of melanin in my skin tone, have not ever experienced, which is, of course, that conversation that people of color have with their children, that conversation, that shattering of innocence for the sake of survival. Survival, that moment, that talk that comes when they have to describe to their children why people treat them differently. When they have to describe the cruelty of the world. And they have to admit that some will never get past the color of their skin. No, it doesn't take much to recognize how and why that mirror dims. But if we could see past that reflection for just a moment to ask ourselves, how are we? What would we say? Might we describe how we feel physically? That is, pay attention to the aches and pains in our body, the illnesses that we're facing. It makes sense when we're hurting. When we're facing an illness, something overwhelming, it is hard to think about anything else. That makes sense. But it's not all of us, is it? So maybe we ought to think at least for a moment about how we feel, get in touch with that childlike part of us that was willing to just cry when we needed to cry. How are we inside? How do we feel? How is our mental health this morning? Am I getting enough sleep? Am I being honest with myself about how things are going? Am I getting help where I need it? There's no shame in that, of course. We all need help from time to time. I know I do. Sometimes it's formal, we get professional help. Sometimes it's informal, we get help from our friends or from our family, from the people who love us and are willing to hold up that mirror when it grows too dim for us to really see, or willing to reflect back to us what they see in our lives. So maybe one of the places we ought to be asking ourselves about how things are going, our internal wellness, is in our social networks, not how many followers we have on Instagram, but what our networks really look like. Who are the people in our lives that are willing to hold up that mirror to us, to be honest with us when we're not willing to be honest with ourselves? Are there people in our lives that we need to work on our relationship with, that we need to reconcile with? Do we have Brunos out there that we need to start talking about? If you're having a hard time picturing someone in your life that is willing to support you, you've come to the right place. That's why we're here. The whole point of gathering together as a church is that here we are, this group of imperfect people who recognize that we're more perfect together than we are apart. None of us have this all figured out, but we're coming together to self-reflect. We're coming together to self-reflect together. That is, we're here to figure this out. And we don't just focus on the physical or mental or social health. We focus on the whole person. Everything that goes into a life, we might help one another professionally by reflecting back what gifts we see in another person. Maybe there's someone out there today feeling that call to ministry and they want someone to talk about it with. Maybe there's somebody out there with another gift that they're wondering, how do we put this into practice? That's why we're here. We help each other financially, not just by our gifts, but by remembering what John Wesley taught us. To earn all we can, to save all we can, and to give all that we can. Maybe we're helping each other intellectually, not just by answering the Wordle each day, but by challenging each other to think about things in new ways, to expand our minds, to understand and to read and to talk. But we are a church, and perhaps more important than anything else, one of the things we do is we check in on each other spiritually. To see what sort of condition our condition is in. To ask ourselves how we are connecting with God and if we're struggling to connect with God. It happens to the best of us from time to time. The good news is we don't have to struggle alone. See, the Methodist movement began in these small groups called class meetings, the same kind of groups that we are starting right now that you could be a part of. It is these groups that are gathering together as disciples of Jesus Christ to try and figure it out. Not that they have it figured out, but they're trying to figure it out together. We're trying to figure this out together. It is to gather, to self-reflect together. We all need that moment in our lives, don't we? But every small group began with the same question: how is it with your soul? So maybe as we start to consider who we are and how we are today, we ought to be asking that traditionally Methodist question, how is it with your soul? When you look in the mirror, friends, do you see a child of the living God? Or something else? Do you see one who is loved, not in spite of who they are, but because of it? Or something else? Do you see someone worthy of being loved? Or something else? If it's something else, then we know what our work is in the year ahead. To walk alongside one another until that mirror grows a little less dim. Until by reflecting back to one another the child of the God that we see, we suddenly find ourselves seeing face to face. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly. But then, we will see face to face. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.